If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Astonishing Legends Network.
The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to the Midnight Library.
Madam, who is that extraordinary creature I've seen playing with Irma tonight?
That is my nanny, darling. Nanny Goat.
How is it that I've never met her before?
Well, she comes from the land down under.
She's from Australia?
She's from Gahanna.
Whoa!
Good evening. Yes, come right through. Oh, how lovely you look. Here we are. Step right through the make-believe teeth and flames. Yes, right into the mouth and through the door of the reading room. Go on. Seriously. No one wants to go first. Oh, my stars. I know it looks frightening, folks, but I promise you, it's fine. And it was just made for fun. Irma and my nanny constructed it earlier today to surprise you. Go on. Oh, for Cersei's sake. Here, I'll go through first. Watch. Whoa. Those flames are convincing, but it is safe. Jump real quick. There we are all. See? Hardly a singed garment to be found. Whilst you're filing in, I'll brag to you a bit about tonight's hellish hospitality tray. Natasha has gone out of her way to make you feel all warm and wanted with her treats this evening. And she, too, was helped by my childhood nanny, who's come from caring for her current charge to grace us with her presence for a bit. Now, I will warn you that everything on the tray tonight is hot. Both spice-wise and temperature-wise. Yes, Mr. Dale, yes. Yes, I know there's a smell, I know. Let's talk about that. The unusual odor rising from the tray is a little something called pumpernickel a la Diablo bread, which roughly translates into hot devil farts. But don't let the smell put you off, though, because that is my nanny's specialty. There's devil's bolete mushrooms or Rubro boletus santanus, which you may know are not poisonous, but will cause you to run a fever, a quite high fever for 6 years. There are deviled eggs from our exotic red chickens that are on a strict diet of curried reaper peppers, and little delicate squares of St. Lucifer's lasagna, served on a fireproof napkin. And to wash any of this down, there are little sips of brimstone beer and underworld rum, both from the Broom and Fang pub. So, enjoy responsibly. do not touch your eyes if you want to continue seeing with them. Welcome to the Midnight Library, my dear guest. I am your Hellfire host, Miranda Merrick. A most wonderful coincidence has manifested this evening, I must tell you. You've heard me mention a few times already this evening that my precious nanny is here for a visit, and I am positively thrilled. I love her implicitly to the ends of the earth. You see, my mother and grandmothers were the busiest group of women when I was little and growing up. And we were fortunate enough to have Nanny here as my nursemaid when I was small. Not everyone in the village was kind to her, though. As she did the shopping and ran errands, with some calling her the goat-headed governess, which was true, but they didn't have to keep pointing it out. Anyway, Nanny is from Infernopolis, which I know you've never heard of, but, and here's the coincidental part, Infernopolis has always been believed to be rather close in proximity to an actual hellmouth, which just happens to be the heated subject of tonight's reading. Now, that's what they say is a hell of a thing. Let us begin. So, being as well-read and astute as I know many of you are, I'm sure you're familiar with Dante's Divine Comedy, specifically the Inferno, and the famous quote, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here." In the epic poem, this phrase was writ large over the entrance to hell, which Dante envisioned as an enormous pair of gloomy and foreboding doors, ornately carved with fleeing angels and the entering souls of the hopelessly damned. The phrase and the doors were meant to impress upon the reader that if you had reached this point and found yourself before these doors, you had traveled beyond God's reach, and there was no further chance of Him shedding His grace upon you. You would now and forever dwell in hell. Now, Dante's works were all published round about the beginning of the 14th century, or the early 1300s, at a time when all of that fire and brimstone was further heating up to instill in the public the fear and the dangers of sin, and the heavenly payoff of being good. Nearing the end of the 14th century, though, the Renaissance period, or rebirth of the arts and education, had begun, and Renaissance artists, many of whom were priests, envisioned heaven and hell quite differently from Dante. They also envisioned the gateway to the underworld in a much more grippingly vivid and utterly terrifying manner. And it was here and when some of the first hell mouths began biting their way into the holy manuscripts. Never at a loss for imagination, monks and artists from these times created vastly varied and bizarre versions of hell mouths. Some of the mouths slung open had inside flaming teeth or many fiery tongues. Some featured a boiling cauldron, sitting on glowing coals or stoked upon burning logs inside the mouth. There were also gruesome two-headed howl mouths atop one atrocious hell creature. In glaring gilded illuminations, the hungry beast of hell looms large with its cavernous, spreading jaws, lined with dagger-like teeth and blinding, licking flames. A sight meant to jolt anyone who saw it into the realization that they should avoid soulful damnation. And a true thing of beauty, in my opinion. To be honest, hell mouths at this time weren't strictly relegated to holy manuscripts alone. I mean, who could contain or place boundaries around such abominable creatures? As awful as the beastly mouths were, people apparently loved them, and the terrifying traps were also blatantly on display in detailed drawings, brilliant paintings, and even carved into church pulpits and pews, and cast into stone, as if permanently guaranteeing their threat to all of humanity for all time. But I'm sure you, like me, would love to know, just where the hell did they come from? Speaking of hell, tonight's reading in the Midnight Library is brought to you by the Broom and Fang Pub. For those who like it hot, 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 at the Broom and Fang this Friday night, oh yes, it's Hades night, and the feeling's right. Don't wait till it's time to get in your casket, when you can climb into hell's handbasket. Don't be a slave to life's dull limitations. There's an underground rave of eternal damnation. The Broom and Fang, under new mismanagement, will host Hell's Gang in the bowels of the establishment. Knock thrice on the door, the password's Gehenna. Hit the blazing dance floor in the scorching cabana. Meet a hellfire beast, do the forbidden dance, or a condemned priest with his flaming pants. Come do the Congo below where it's thermo. Ride Satan's Bronco through the disco inferno. Twirl the goat-headed girl until you're all queasy. Sweat till you hurl in the Broom and Fang speakeasy. The bonfire is tempting, so be of good cheer. Hell is now empty, 'cause all the devils are here. Join us for Hades Night this Friday night at the Broom and Fang Pub. The Broom and Fang is not responsible for any sixth-degree burns, boils, broils, scorches, sears, singes, or burnt to a crisp chars you are guaranteed to receive. The FDA, the Fiery Damnation Association, warns that intentional inhalation of smoke from brimstone incineration will cause the cremation of your entire body, bones, and soul. Your blistered eyeballs will be eaten by the devil. We'll see you Friday night at the Broom and Fang Pub. One of the first proposed ideas regarding the genesis of the Hell Mouth is that it is largely based on some of the first known Norse mythological images from the 8th century of the Common Era. And in my opinion, they are fabulous images because they feature one of our favorite kinds of beasts, a wolf. A few of The earliest carvings were found in a Saxon graveyard in England. The tall, narrow stone grave marker is referred to as the Gosforth Cross. And what is so compelling about it is that in addition to being an obvious Christian marker, with an imposing cross at its towering top, it has along its four-sided panels Norse mythological characters, scenes, and motifs. On one panel, the trickster god Loki is shown taking action to end the life of Baldur, the son of Odin. And on another panel is clearly shown the scene of the silent god Vidar prying open the man-eating jaws of the monstrous and magical wolf Fenrir. Shown in profile, this wonderful image closely resembles many typical hell mouths. And the act of prying the sizable mouth open is something that happens in some Christian artworks that portray Jesus during his sabbatical in hell. Dramatically prying open the mouth of hell, or the mouth of Satan himself, in order to rescue some condemned souls from dwelling in the devil's belly for eternity. But I'm guessing, since ending up here placed you, as stated earlier, beyond God's grace, that the rescue by Jesus shown was just a one-off thing. And that he couldn't be relied upon to keep returning to hell to chase after and free his beloved miscreants. These early wolf-based images may also explain why some of the earliest hell mouths appear to be more lupine in appearance, with longer snouts. And this strategic placement of Norse images on the headstone, all leading up to the Christian cross at the top of this particular gravestone, making it the pinnacle, may have been intended to impress upon the Viking people living there at this time that the Christian religion was the true one to follow. There's yet another fantastical version of a hellmouth that may also have its roots buried deep in Norse mythology. This beast, in Anglo-Saxon wood carvings, is an immense human-devouring mouth belonging to that of a great dragon. And surely it is no mere coincidence that way back in Norse legends, they had Nidhogg, an underworld dwelling, ravenous dragon, who passed his days by happily gobbling up the souls of evil humans who were obviously crunched up and possibly cooked at the same time by roasting in the dragon's huge and fiery mouth. There's also a telling tie-in to be found in early Anglo-Saxon holy texts that directly equated Satan as having the jaws of a dragon that were expressly fit to chew up and swallow the damned souls of the dead. These antiquated writings stated that those who entered the devil's mouth
never came out of the throat of the dragon, which is called Satan.
Some scholars have also proposed that this early dragon motif may well have been the reason that so many of the forthcoming hellmouths also featured shooting flames, just like that of the storied and famous fire-breathing dragon. Going back even further, our friends, the ancient Egyptians, may have also had a dog in this fight. Sort of. In their prolific and sacred Book of the Dead, the chimeric entity Amut is there. She is not a god, but a demonic being present beside Thoth, the ibis-beaked god, during the crucial judgment ritual that takes place in Limbo, the place between life and death. In chapter 125 of the Divine Text, Amut waits patiently during the weighing of the heart ceremony. If the newly deceased person's heart, when placed upon a scale, was found to be lighter than a feather, this meant the person had lived a kind and loving life, and the person could then regain their heart and the right to exist in the afterlife. However, if the dead person's heart tipped the scales with its weight, meaning it was full of bad traits such as jealousy and meanness and hate, well, Amut, this fanciful and dangerous creature with the head of a crocodile, the front half of a lion, and the back half of a hippo, was said to eat the heavy heart of the dead person there and then, forever preventing their entrance into the joyous afterlife. In some Egyptian artwork and engravings, Amut is not portrayed as patient at all, but more in the fashion of a hellmouth. She is shown with her jumbo crocodile jaws sprung wide open in anticipation of her party meal. Notably, Amut was a mix of the three most frightening animals known to really exist in Egypt at the time. So to face the judgment of a powerful spiritual being that combined all three must have been extra terrifying to hear would be awaiting you after your death. Oh, my stars. We will have to jump back out of our hellmouth for a moment, dear guests. Oh, my. I nearly forgot. I have messages from Stefan Strangeways. Though silent, please, we all ask why. The frigid universe makes no reply. He'll talk to us, Stefan will. Loved ones leave us in so much pain. We beg the invisible to see them again. He'll console us, Stefan will. Philosophers hold that nothing is real, yet broken hearts refuse to heal. He'll mend us, Stefan will. So we curse our gods, there'll be no peacemaking when we choose the hell of our own making. He'll forgive us, Stefan will. Mr. Stefan Strangeways, being true to his name, has sent three messages via the strangest way this night. It doesn't matter whose, but we were baking bones when in the fire they turned to stones, and on those stones appeared his message. With you I'll share his caring presage. For our dear Carolyn, whom company wanted, the good news is your basement's haunted. For Logan, who found a cursed ring in his candy, one day you'll be king, the underworld's dandy. For Anonymous, who's reached the end of their rope, tie a knot in that thing. We offer friendship and hope. It's true, Stefan cares, and so do we. From broken carts to broken hearts, Stefan Strangeways can be reached via Spirit Board. Although he has been known to accept an invite to the Broom and Fang every now and again. So do keep your eyes peeled for him. Okay, that's enough cowboy comforting for now. Let us return to the jaws of hell. I have a few more fascinating facets of this fiery phenomenon to fill your ears with. Personally, I have to say, I was mesmerized by the multitude of renderings I was able to find in the Off Limits to You books of ours, featuring countless versions of hell mouths. But please don't fret, because you too, with a little digging on your part, can treat your soon-to-be scorched eyeballs to the fabulous images of them. But here, I am thrilled to tell you about just a few of my favorites. It was hard to choose, though, because there are just so many lovely hell mouths. It gives me great joy to report to you first that a few marvelous hell mouths can be found in the wild and bewildering artworks of Hieronymus Bosch. Of course. One delightfully disturbing, human-munching mouth is startlingly shown in his painting titled The Harrowing of Hell. It features a massive, fleshy head that has springing from it a full set of arms and legs, although it has no body, making where its neck would be its bottom. The purposeful arms and subsequent hands are gripping the sides of the large mouth, stretching it open to allow scads of armored demons to march or launch the broken bodies of humans into it. The squattish armed and legged head also has the unsettling attribute of exotropic eyes, meaning the irises take off in opposite directions from each other. And the hell head wears a kind of plate-like hat upon which a circus tent is erected. Inside the tent, you can clearly see there's some manner of torturous game or meal being held by more rambunctious demons. Another hell mouth I absolutely love, and you should too, is contained in a beautiful fresco displayed in a church near Lake Como in Italy. The action-packed painting of The Last Judgment by Giovanni Rovere features exactly one of those soul-hungry dragons I've just mentioned. This brilliant sea monster-ish dragon is popping out from a castle wall that faces what I assume is the River Styx, as there are several lost souls being carried away by it. Framed by flames and looking quite patient, the dragon's widespread mouth hangs open on the river's edge, with his wavy white beard resting on some boulders. His big brown eyes calmly gaze out at you, while horned satyrs steer their gondola of the naked damned right tight up against his mighty jaw, and prod the condemned with their claws and tridents into the mouth of the hellish monster. He is seriously cute, and I hope you get to see him. There's still another incredible aspect of the legendary Hellmouth that I would like to impress upon you, my dear guest. Actually, two aspects. One is the fact that the idea of entering hell through a demonic mouth was once so embedded in people's minds that they brought them into three-dimensional reality. And two, that in some places, these mouths can still be found and entered into today. From the Middle Ages and on through the Renaissance, stage plays were often religious passion plays, or so-called mystery plays. These heavy-handed theatrical productions drove their moral message into the heads of their audiences by bringing punishing lakes of fire and brimstone and colossal hellmouths right onto the stage for them to witness. It wasn't uncommon for these great big chomping beasties to have huge, working, hinged jaws that could swallow the actors, or for them to be fitted with glowing eyes, smoke billowing from their nostrils, and even fireworks shooting forth from their throats. The onlookers could see the sinners going to hell right before their eyes. Anything to keep the masses, especially those who were illiterate or uneducated, in line with the church, or at least to deter them from bad or harmful behavior. Now, if you've spent any time at all going to amusement parks, fun houses, or stylized haunted houses, you may have entered one of these larger-than-life, wide-open monster mouths. But I'm betting it's only just now that you realized where they came from and what they really are. Why, it almost seems as though you've been training for entering these unique portals all along, doesn't it? For ages, hell mouths have been the ghoulish entranceways to circuses, fun fairs, art installations, and even the doorway to many proper and permanent buildings in parks, temples, gardens, and theaters. Sadly, they're not as prevalent as they once were, but some impressive ones, mostly cut into stone or formed from concrete, can still be found today. Just a few of them are a giant screaming tunnel with impeccably straight teeth can be entered into in the Buddha Park in Laos. A yawning, gap-toothed monster head, complete with an altar inside his mouth where his tongue might be, is a fabulous sculpture in Italy's Park of the Monsters. And a demonic, fanged beast awaits and welcomes amusement park goers into its fearsome jaws in the ghost city of Fangdu, in Chongguishi, China. So that's three, but there are many more all over the world, but not anywhere near or or under the grounds here, that's for sure. Oh my stars. You know, just saying this just now has caused a vivid memory to flash in my mind. Oh, I'll share it with you. I seem to remember being very small and playing hide-and-seek with my nanny inside of a humongous hellmouth. Oh, I would dart behind the tilting yellow teeth to hide from her. And there was a huge cauldron just bubbling away, sitting right on the head's red, steamy tongue. When Nanny was finished throwing large cuts of meat into the pot, she would come looking for me and coax me to come out by tempting me with a treat of some kind. Candied bacon, maybe? I forget. Sometimes at night, I could hear the great mouth chewing or whispering or calling. Yes, Miss Robin, yes. It's a dream. Oh, yes. Of course it was a dream. Just a most intense and realistic dream. Well, here is where I bid you a fond farewell for tonight and turn you over to gallant Mr. Darling. Good night, my dear guests. Sweet dreams.
I must say, madam, your childhood with your nanny sounds most unusual. Was she strict?
Well, she handed out punishments and rewards fairly, like any good governess. Although, I won't soon forget flossing the mangled meat from between the giant, gross teeth of the Hellmouth. That's for sure.
What on earth did you do to get that punishment?
That was a reward, darling. I made the village church bell sound like a fart.
Of course. Good night, madam.
Good night, darling.
This message is for you, my dear guest. It's important to me that you know that you are welcome and valued here. Why? Because I know that you are a real person. And I'd like you to know that in spite of what you may hear in the village, that I am a real person too. I am not an AI-generated thing, pieced together by robbing the work of others and presented by a soulless algorithm, meant to spew a random flood of content at you that only masquerades as quality entertainment. I choose the subjects I think you'll like. I diligently research the topics using only reputable books and sites. I alone write every single word you hear. I choose each piece of music and every eerie fun sound. I am the Midnight Library. I am the Reading Room. I am every character. I am the Broom and Fang Pub, the fog that floats in the graveyard, and every Lady Gravedigger. And I am honored that you enjoy what I create. So I will ask you to support the Midnight Library, as many of my beloved friends do. Please visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary, and I'll meet you there. Thank you.